In today's Mishnah, we're in the 16th and 17th Mishnah from the first parak of Masechet Avot. The Mishnah begins. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Rabban Gamliel said. Now here referring to Rabban Gamliel, who is the son of Shimon, the Parashim explained, and Rabban Gamliel being the grandson then of Hillel, who mentioned two Mishnah ago. So Rabban Gamliel Omer, Aser Lecha Rav, you should make yourself a Rav. And we saw this already in Mishnah Vav, when Yeshua ben Parachah said the same thing. Mefarshim explained, the first Sani Kahati, he says that previously it was referring to Limud, meaning learning Torah, meaning Svar, understanding Talmud and the like. Here referring to Halach Lamaisa. That's the importance here. Other Mefarshim, for example, Yaku Yehuda, he explains that while previously back in Mishnah Vav, as instruction for the general population, here Rabban Gamliel is stressing the importance that even for the Chachamim to have a Rav. This leads to the Rishonim, like the Rabbeinu Yonah Meiri, who explained that even if he is the gadol of the city, or the gadol, and he can't find anyone greater than him, it's still necessary to have a rav, even if the person is a filo pachopim, even if he's of a lesser standing. And that's important because v'istalek min ha-safek, as the Mishnah continues. That's to remove yourself from a position of doubt, meaning you're not sure. According to the Mefarshim of Achacham, you shouldn't paskin on your own, you should consult a rav in order to come up to a clear ruling. And then it continues, Va'al tarbe la'aser omadot. Now here what this is referring to, which is what Kadi explains initially, is referring to the separation of ma'asrot. We mentioned previously, when one brings in the produce from the field, they have to separate trumot and ma'asrot. Now ma'asrot itself is a tenth, and that has to be done exactly. If someone takes it by approximation, so al tarbe la'aser, do not separate ma'asrot by approximation, then you run the risk of not separating enough, and then the remainder is tevel, or separating too much, and say it's Maaser Rishon, and you've got mixed into that still some tevel, meaning something from which you have to separate Maaser Sheni. So you run into problems with that. And that's, according to Rambam, this really follows the previous Mishnah, because if you tarbe laser or madot, if you start separating Maaser by approximation, that is compounding the issue or running against the problem of Yistalek Min HaSafek, you're in a position of Safek. So all flow one to the other. Again, the difficulty with this Mishnah is not just a bit of advice, it seems to be the pattern in the Mishnah, this is really a mitzvah. You have to separate Maaser properly. So what's interesting is we have other Farshim explain this Mishnah slightly differently. For example, Rabban Gamliel says, when it comes to the custom of separating tzedakah, or to say, for example, truma, that doesn't have to be exactly a measure. We've got some, for example, truma gedolah, you've got a bit of leeway, a 40th to 60th. You shouldn't really do it simply by approximation. Let's refer to it, say, tzedakah, through the obligation of separating Maaser, because the issue is that one would have a tendency to be stingy and think that, oh yeah, I've probably given my Maaser, and when they really are falling far short from their obligation. Let's now learn Mishnah Yud Zayin. Mishnah says, Shimon Beno, this is now Shimon the son of Rabban Gamliel HaZaken, we've mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Omer, he says, Kol Yamai Gadalti, all my life I grew up Bein HaChachamim, Max HaChachamim. So interestingly here, he's referred to as Shimon, not Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel. And standing here is referring to Shimon even before he Allah Lagdula, even before he was a Rav, he was saying this statement. So my whole life I grew up in Maksachami, Velomatsati Laguf Tov Elashtika. I didn't find for the body good rather than shtika. So while Shimon seems to be extolling the virtues of silence itself, what's interesting here is the addition of the word guf. So many Mefarshim explain here, Mitzvah Shemor, for example, says that it's referring to the Inyanei Haguf when it comes to more mundane matters. With respect to those issues, yeah, it's better, silence is better, not to increase with idle chatter and various other things. When it comes to Limud Torah and the like, no, one should increase that. What's interesting, the Shlad, just to go a little bit deeper than we normally do, he says that the goof, the body, doesn't need dibur, doesn't need speech. We find that no animals speak. It's a matter that's necessary for the neshama. So if someone is simply using that speech for simply mundane matters, it's considered a negative thing. Because again, it's something that really should be associated with needs of one's neshama more than simply the needs of one guf if one is doing so in excess. What's interesting, however, there is an opposing opinion. For example, the Miri says, no, this also applies to matters of Torah as well. How so? That is, if one is learning from the Chachamim, it's best to listen and learn rather than volunteering opinions and doing more of the talking, so they can actually learn from the Chachamim. Mishnah continues, V'lo ha-midrash hu ha-kar el ha-maiseh. And while it is important, according to all these opinions, to engage and learn in Torah, the Midrash is not the Ikar, rather it is the Maisa, meaning the one's learning has to translate into action. As the Chachamim say, Kol Hadoresh Ve'ino Makayam, anyone who learns but does not fulfill what he's learned, Noach Lo Im Hayashotek Ve'lo Doresh. That's why the Batner explains it would be better had he simply not learned at all. What's interesting, I admitted one other explanation I think is very important. go back to the previous statement in the Mishnah, it says, Lo matzati leguf tov elashtika. The Bartender brings a different explanation. He explains that he's referring to someone who's shomer cherpato. He hears someone insulting him and bashing him. He says, I haven't found for the body, one's welfare, anything better in response to that type of assault, rather than simply shotek, to simply be silent. So we've said, Lo matzati leguf elashtika. We've also explained, Lo hamidrash hawakar elmaisa. The final statement is, V'chol ha-marbe devarim mevi chet. This seems to be paralleling what we've just already said, but someone who increases in speech and adds words, that brings to sin. Now the classic example that's brought, the Mepharshim bring here in this case, is that of Chava. When Hashem said he must not eat from the tree, she communicated to the Nachash, not only that they were not allowed to eat from the tree, but also touch the tree, otherwise they would die. The snake pushed her into the tree, and she actually made contact with the fruit of the tree. And he said, look, you didn't die, so the whole thing must be ridiculous, and that led to the whole, as you know, the first sin. So by marbe, by adding extra words, by, in this particular case, if you like, maybe more machmer and saying that this is also part of the prohibition, he brought them ultimately to the sin, or the very first sin, of eating from the forbidden fruit of the tree. Those are Mishnah today.